asked Savior.
Oh, the Savior of mankind, please show us a sign.
To the designer of the human civilization that is established on the unity of Almighty Allah. To the redeemer of human volition and thought.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny, dear brothers and sisters, all over the world. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to yet another edition from series of The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio. If you have been following us in our previous sessions and series of shows that we have presented to you, in this series of shows, we are trying to focus on the doubts or misconceptions on the topic of Mahdawiyya or Mahdism, or the concept of the Savior. Like always, we have invited respected scholar, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, from Qom Seminary Schools, to help us answering the question that we pose here. So, Sheikhna, assalamu alaikum and welcome to the show, and many thanks for accepting the invitation.
Wa alaikum salam and thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming. In our previous session, we have started a discussion on one of the doubts and misconceptions that was posed towards the concept of Mahdawiyya or Mahdism and the concept of the awaiting the last savior. That Imam alayhi salam, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, will divide the blessings and the bounties of the mankind among his true and genuine followers from the Shias or from the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt. We started answering such a doubt to say that Imam is not only the Imam of the Shias, rather he is the Imam all the inhabitants of the earth, as the Holy Prophet was the Prophet of God on the scene of the earth. So Imam will not prioritize or even believe in any preference of Shias or any sect or denomination over others. So this is something that is totally accepted and believed in. So what are the roots of such claims? This was something that we started talking about, and we said that even the followers and the companions of Imam will be in a more severe and difficult situation and position. They will be under hardship of helping Imam in different, let's say, wars against oppression, and this is what actually is being expected from them, to tolerate lots of hardships at that time rather to be benefited from the blessings and bounties of the time of the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam and the time of his reappearance. And it would be great, Sheikh, if you even have a look at whatever has been said already and give us a gist of it first, and then let's continue with the discussion.
There are two claims. The first claim is that the Shias of the Imam, the companions of the Imam, after his reappearance, will be blessed by different bounties, and they are, na'udhubillah, the people of pleasure, seeking worldly pleasures, and Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will give them properties, wealth. And the second claim is that these blessings will be given only to the Shia, and others are deprived from that and have no share in it. Now, as I mentioned, the first point is that, first of all, after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, the companions of the Imam and the Shia, they will go through many difficulties, because at the end of the day, there is a war, there is bloodshed, and these are the people who are going to help Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Of course, we said that there shouldn't be exaggeration about bloodshed, but anyway, war is inevitable at that time. Now, let me share some more narrations in this regard, talking about the self-sacrifice of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam and their hardships. I began quoting this narration in the previous session, but it remained incomplete. Bashir, one of the companions of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, says that, "I've heard that when Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam reappears, everything will be automatically will be arranged for him, and there would be no bloodshed at all." Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam said that, "I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if the affairs were going to be arranged automatically, it would have been done for the Prophet. But we know that in the war, his teeth were broken and his face was injured. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this is not the case. And after the reappearance of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, then Imam explains that his companions, they will help the Imam in the war, they will sue it, there would be dried blood on their forehead, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
In another narration, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says that the companions of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam will be tested like the companions of Talut.
Mm-hmm.
We know that their story is mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran, and the fact that they will be seriously tested by Talut. Let me just share one more narration in this regard. Ibn Khallat says that people began to talk about Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam before Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. Then the Imam said that أَنْتُمُ الْيَوْمْ أَرْخَى بَعْلَ مِنْكُمْ يَوْمَئِذْ. Your situation today is much more easier than the situation of the people and the companions of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. Because at that time when Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam reappears, what you see is the dried blood on the forehead of the companion of the Imam, the fact that they will sweat a lot. Even Imam refers to the fact that النوم على السروج, they do not have enough time even to sleep on the ground. They will sleep while they are on their horses. And their clothes will be rough clothes, and they will have a very simple food. This is in Kitab al-Ghiba, page 296. Mm-hmm. So this is the point. So at least for the first period after the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, it is the Shia, not only the when I say the Shia, I mean all the people who will accept Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam as the savior. And it includes all the people who will accept him. So this is in Kitab al-Ghiba, page 296. The answer to the first claim is that at least in the first period after the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, his companions who are the Shia and new Shias, by new Shia I mean those people who did not believe in Islam or in Shia school of thought, but now they have accepted Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam as the promised savior, and they are helping the Imam. They will
so
go
based
through.
On the literature of the Hadith, the Shias that we have in the Hadith are not exactly the Shias that they are now,
yeah,
claiming
sure.
that they are the followers of the school of Ahlul Bayt.
Whoever follows Imam Mahdi alayhi salam at that time, they
so Shia in the sense and in the meaning of follower merely, right?
No, no. They are Muslim and they believe in Shia school of thought. But before that, before the advent of Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, they might be Christians, Jews,
mm-hmm.
polytheists. But now when see Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, they will accept him. They mm-hmm. will know that Islam is the true religion, Shia
very
school
true.
Of thought is the true denomination, and all of them are considered the Shia of the Imam.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. Let's have a short break and we shall get back to you with to listen to your explanations. Dear respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners, we will be back in a few seconds.
Wherever you be, I'll be with you, 'cause you're the one my heart is to need you.
Welcome back, dear brothers and sisters, to The Last Savior from IRIB English Radio and our discussion concerning the sort of preference of Imam alayhi salam, Imam Mahdi alayhi salam, over his Shias towards others, and this was actually nullified. And we said that even the concept of Shia, the meaning and the term Shia actually will not have the same meaning that it has today, because whoever accepts the message of Imam alayhi salam at the time of his advent and reappearance, he will be also included in the circle of Shia or follower. Shia by itself means follower.
So the meaning is the same as today, but it's not limited to the Shia that we have today.
Exactly.
On that day, we have the majority of the people of the world as the Shia of the Imam, because they will believe in the religion of Islam and the school of the Ahlul Bayt.
We understand from the hadith and narrations that there shouldn't be logically any preference or priority of Shias over others in case the successor of the Prophet of God or the vicegerent of God on the scene of the earth is going to do his message from Allah's side, from a divine source. So he has to be just and equal towards all those who leave on the earth and all the mankind and all human beings.
Okay, the second claim was that he claims that all the blessings at the time of the reappearance of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam are only for the Shia and the non-Shias are deprived from that. Now, let me clarify the fact that after that era of fighting, according to narrations, there would be a long period, an era of the people of the world living in peace and enjoying the life, and they will have a good life. The narrations talk about the fact that people will not find poor people because of the fact that their wealth is and the properties are divided based on justice. Mm-hmm. Now, there are again two answers to this claim. First of all, as we mentioned, if the narrations talk about Shias enjoying these blessings, as I mentioned, the majority of the people at that time are the Shia, mm-hmm. because they will accept Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam as their savior, and they will accept the religion of Islam and Shia school of thought. Now, the second point, which is in need of more clarification, is that I need to mention an introduction. There is a kind of difference among the scholars regarding this question that whether we will have like Ahlul Kitab at the time of Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam and his reappearance or not. I mean, at that time, all the people will be Muslims and Shia, or no, there might be some followers of other religions who will not believe in the religion of Islam, but they are not the enemies of the Imam. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are Ahlul Kitab, like Ahlul Kitab at the time of the Prophet, who had treaties with the Prophet. According to some narrations and some scholars, at that time, Christianity and Judaism and some other divine religions continue to exist. So if we accept this viewpoint, now the question is that, are these blessings mentioned in these narrations only for the Shia or also for these Ahlul Kitab who are living under an Islamic government by Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam? The answer is that when we refer to the narrations talking about these bounties and blessings, we see that in many of them, the word an-nas or al-ibad have been used. Mm-hmm. An-nas means the people, al-ibad means servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no limitation to the Shia. Let me just share a few narrations. In one narration, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam addresses all the people and says, "Fayaqul ayyuha an-nas halummu." All the people come to mm-hmm. me, so the Imam will give them properties and wealth. "Yu'ti an-nas ataya marratayn fi as-sana." Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam will give the people bounties and gifts 2 times every year, and they will give them sustenance 2 times every month. And so the wordings of the narration is yu'tin nas, he will give all the people. Wa yusawwi bayna nas, he will practice justice among all the people. Hatta la tura muhtajan ila zakat. At that time, you will not see any poor people who is in need of mm-hmm. zakat. So the point is that these narrations which talk about people enjoying a good life at that time, having properties and enjoying the wealth and receiving bounties and gifts from Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, these narrations talk about an-nas, people, not the Shia only. So if we have non-Shias at that time, according to some narrations like the Christians and Jews, the Ahlul Kitab, who are not the enemies of the Imam, according to these narrations, they will have also a share in those blessings.
As you said, the term is also very general, and it says al-ibad an-nas.
Exactly.
And the public actually yeah. are mentioned here. Many thanks, Sheikh Murtadha Khan, for your explanations, and you respected listeners for your patience and staying tuned when listening to this discussion. I hope that you enjoyed it. Hopefully, you will join us again in our upcoming session where we continue talking about different and many other, let's say, doubts and misconceptions on the topic and concept of Mahdawi or Mahdism or the concept of awaiting the last savior. Since then, I'll leave in Allah's protection. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.